We started a series throughout this month of November, if you remember. Interesting, I've had people say November to remember. If you remember, we started the series, let me bring my slide up. We called it Faith for a New Season. Faith for a New Season. It's a new season. It's a new beginning. A lot of new things have happened this year. Things that have never happened before in the history of those who are presently, currently living, existing in the human race. Of course, when you read the scriptures, the Bible says that there is nothing new for under heaven. So there is always something that has happened similar to what we're going through now. And that is why it is always good to go back into the Bible, because the Bible captures history, a historical account of what was before now and what is going to be. Not just historical, it also captures the prophecy of the times and seasons that we need, that we live in now. So we need faith for this new season. And we also had the subtitle, Faith for the Impossible. So today, with no further ado, I sincerely want to share from the depths of my heart and from the things I believe that the Lord has enabled me to learn and unlearn, even at this time, this season of my own life. You see, none of us existing now has ever lived through a pandemic, a global pandemic. Maybe some of us have seen epidemics, or we've been somewhere where there's an outbreak of diseases, but not a pandemic of a global nature like what we are seeing now. So we need something extra. We really need something extra. So you know what? Let us pray. And we are praying in line with what we want to learn today, which is those who demonstrated faith for the impossible. And of course, today will be the part two. So join me as I agree with you and let's pray. Father, there is a spirit in man according to your word. It is your inspiration that gives us understanding. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask, give me understanding. Pour your spirit, pour your love into me and through me to everyone that is hearing, watching, listening. Let the words that I will speak right now, let people not hear my words, let them hear your word and the voice of your word. I pray upon every heart, every mind, even those who do not even believe you exist. In your own way, Lord, introduce yourself, make yourself real to every single person, even to the very youngest person listening who can comprehend, Lord God Almighty. Reveal your heart. At the end of it, let there be healing, let there be deliverance. Let your word that never returns to you void accomplish what you please. And I believe, Lord, what you please today is that we all have faith for the impossible. And we will start living and demonstrating that faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Now, I want to start off today from where we actually looked and stopped last week. If you were not with us on this live broadcast last week, I would suggest that on this Facebook page, Love Assembly Liverpool, you can actually backtrack and see the Thursday. We held a Thursday, last Thursday meeting. We did some questions, answers, burden on faith, and also the previous Sunday, which was last week's Sunday, we looked at the part one of what we're looking at today, those who demonstrated faith for the impossible. And we looked at some fundamentals when we started this series of faith. Faith, we realize, comes by what we hear, what we are told. Everything you believe in today, everything you have faith in today, is because you are told or you heard about it. That is how faith comes. And we said something which I also want to repeat here. Always employ the use of your logic, because everything we have faith in now, we believe now, we heard them either by what we saw, our eyes, what we smelt, our nose, what we heard with our ears, what we touched with our hands, or what we tasted with our tongue. The five senses tells us touch, hear, taste, smell, all these things, I tell you, inform how we believe. And it is very important also, when we come to a place where we want to have faith for what is impossible, let your logic come to the conclusion first that what is confronting you, an issue, a situation, and like we said, even if it could be a medical condition, logic, medical science says this is not possible. It defies logic, it defies science. Because what I'm about to share with us again today, we're going to see examples of things that happened that when we use our logic, it defies science. How on earth could these things happen? And as we round up today, I will also be sharing with us things to watch out for that can hinder faith for the impossible. Okay, so last week we looked at a woman called Mary, a virgin, and a woman called Elizabeth, who was barren in her old age. And then we also look at Jesus, the first miracle Jesus performed in the Bible, which was turning water into wine. All these things defy logic. Come on, common sense. How can a virgin give birth to a baby without having sexual relations with a man? How can a barren woman who has passed menopause in her old age, I mean, well stricken in years, that's the way the Bible describes her. How can she give birth to a baby? So we looked at that. So today, let's look at some further examples. So the first set of people we will be looking at today, the story is found in Luke chapter 17. This is the story of 10 leprous men, the story of 10 lepers. We will look at this. Remember, switch on your logic, please. And then we will move to how they demonstrated faith beyond logic in what was impossible. Now, they are leprous people. Science tells us, I don't think science has found cure for leprosy. I don't want to go into the science of it, but I have seen people who are leprous before. I've even been around a place they call a leper's colony, where they have to keep lepers away from people because leprosy could be contagious. It's something they can transfer to someone who is not a leper. Just like, you know, now that the coronavirus is there, the virus can spread and result into people catching the disease called COVID-19. So the virus is contagious. That's why, you know, they say, cover your noses, wash your hands, and all that. I want to do something funny. Now, listen, I'm dressed up like this by faith. Okay? Can you still hear me? Now, why? Why are you wearing masks? You are told to. Faith comes by hearing. You are told when you put on the mask, the virus is spread, is airborne. The mask will protect you against it. And guess what? There are even some people who don't know why they are putting on the mask. They are putting it on because they are seeing other people putting it on. They don't know why. That is faith in itself. So I'm dressed up like this today by faith. I heard it and I did it. I just showed you putting on a face mask. Now, I'm dressed up like this. If you notice, I'm also putting on a tie. I've not worn a tie. At least not on a Sunday service in a long time. So if you're wondering, am I trying to look like forget it. Why I'm dressed up like this is I woke up this morning and I heard it in my thoughts. Wear this and put on a white tie. So if you see me dressed like this, I'm dressing by faith, by what I heard, and I simply acted on it. So now let's go to the story of the 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17, I will implore you to please write the scriptures down, go back and check them. If you don't have a Bible, just write Luke, Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17. Google, there are Bibles online. Technology is so awesome now. Please read the Bible. It's online. And guess what? You can download it for free. So Luke and chapter 17 from verse 11. Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, this is talking about Jesus, okay? Verse 12, then he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers. Let's read on. Jesus enters Jerusalem. He enters a village. He meets 10 lepers. Listen, who stood afar off? When a man catches leprosy, he's not allowed into the city. They are kept outside the city in a colony. So they were afar off. So they shouldn't move near Jesus, and Jesus too shouldn't move near them according to, you know, the laws then, and also for his own physical well-being. You don't want to catch leprosy. So they stood afar off, verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Let me pause. Lepers outside the city, Jesus was going into the city. They were far off. They heard about Jesus. They had heard that Jesus heals. Remember, faith comes by what we hear, what we are told. They have heard that Jesus heals. Jesus, prior to this time, had been performing other miracles. So they cried to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Help us, save us, heal us. We're in a leprous situation and circumstance. Remember, one of the things we're learning here is, please don't live in denial. The first place to start dealing with God that you cannot see is to please use your logic and acknowledge truly your current circumstances and situation. Don't deny. Faith does not deny facts. So these guys are lepers. Please help us. Jesus also saw them, heard them, and Jesus responded to them. What did Jesus do? He spoke, go show yourselves to the priests. Jesus spoke to them directly. There's something we will highlight again today. You will see that everyone that demonstrated faith for the impossible heard God directly. God spoke to them directly. Directly. They heard a direct word. We saw Peter last week. He walked on water. He heard Jesus directly. We saw Mary, Virgin Mary, who gave birth miraculously to a baby without sexual relationships with a man. She heard God directly. We saw Mary, who gave birth in a barren state. She heard God directly. An angel came to them from God and said, this is what God is saying. So these lepers had Jesus directly. Directly. It's not a secondhand information. Because we will look at something today in Hebrews chapter 11. in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The Bible declares there, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Remember, we're looking at those who demonstrated faith for the impossible. Those who demonstrated faith for the possible. That's what we're looking at today. So it is impossible to please God. The second part of that scripture now says, for those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let me see if I have that scripture here so that we can see that scripture. I just quoted in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily, this is the Amplified version, believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Now, I will tell us one thing from that scripture. Those, remember, it is impossible to please God without faith. And how does faith come? By what we hear, by what we're told. So faith in God should come by what God tells you, what you are told about God. Now, I will tell us something here today critically. I was having a very deep conversation with a couple during the week. There's a difference in when you hear about somebody than when you encounter that person personally. There's a difference. I can tell you about God, like you're hearing now, and maybe you're beginning to wonder, maybe I should give it a try. I'm telling you about God. So your faith will come and rest upon what I tell you about God. So some level of faith has been activated in you that way, if you believe what I say about God. But there is a difference when you encounter God personally and God speaks to you directly. The difference between somebody who will really have faith for the impossible is that they hear God directly. They take God at his word. What God said, not what a pastor said, not what a bishop said, not what they watched on TV and they heard about God. Listen, have you not met people before that before you met them physically, you had stories about them? You heard that so-and-so is somewhere, is like this, is like that. At times, maybe it's something derogatory or negative. And then you have the opportunity one day to encounter them. And then you say, what? Is this the same person I heard about that they told me about? Your faith in that person changes now that you've had a personal encounter. So on that basis, these lepers heard Jesus directly. Everyone who exercised faith in the impossible had a direct word from God. Faith in God comes from hearing the word from God. From God. So look at what Jesus said to them directly. Luke chapter 17, verse 14. Go show yourselves to the priests. They had Jesus say that. Listen, if you are a leper, you are outside the city. You must not move into the city. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. That is contrary to logic. That is suicidal. How can you tell us to go show ourselves to the priest? In our leper state, you want us to go and defile the priest? And guess what? In that time, if a leper ever ventures into the city, he must be stoned. So Jesus literally was telling them to defy logic here. Go and show yourself to the priests. That is crazy, people. That defies logic. So these people, listen, at this point in time, let them apply their common sense. They will not obey that instruction. But faith in the impossible hears what God says and does it because God said so. Forget about your feeling. Forget about circumstances. We are not denying facts. These are leprous people. Don't deny your circumstances or your situation. So Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And do you know what? Even in the old times, you can only, if you're a leprous person, if there are spots or, you know, the symptoms of leprosy start showing, immediately you are on isolation. You see all this isolation we're hearing now, self-isolating, you're in quarantine and all that. It started in the Bible. Even lockdown. I will talk one day about Noah. Noah was under lockdown, one whole year, lockdown in that ark. But let's go back to these people. So if you start showing symptoms of leprosy, if a man starts showing symptoms, he's quarantined or quarantined if you're British or, sorry, American. Forget it. Let's just not go there. Now, they are put in quarantine or quarantine, okay? And they must not venture near the city. So when they check them after a certain number of days, and the symptoms have gone, like if you are tested positive for COVID, they tell you isolate, or you've mixed, interacted with someone who tested positive, isolate for 14 days, at least 10 to 14 days or something like that, okay? All these things are faith that comes by hearing. They tell you isolate 14 days. So you acted on it. That's an act of faith, all right? So after they check them and the symptoms of leprosy goes, it's called cleansing. When they certify they are cleansed, they go to the priest. The priest now satisfies, confirms that they are free. It's like you're showing symptoms of a disease, you put in quarantine, and then you are asked to go to the doctor to check your vitals, everything, to see that those symptoms have gone, that you are indeed healed. Listen, this is why I don't believe in fake miracles. Let me tell you what a miracle is. A doctor tells you this is impossible. You heard God tell you this is possible. You believed, you received, you spoke, you acted, you trusted, and you were healed. And you went back to the doctor, and the doctor confirmed that disease is gone. That's a miracle. Not all these fake things we just see all over there, and, you know, people trying to make God real. You cannot make God real. God is real. He doesn't need you for him to reveal himself, his reality. We are only vessels to just simply tell God what God is saying and let God confirm that truly I said this. You see, people battling today because somebody said, God said, prophecy that God didn't say, and it's caused people's faith to be shipwrecked. That's why you need faith for a new season. And this faith for a new season means you need to hear God for yourself this season. Go show yourself to the priest, Jesus said to them. Let's see what happened. If logic kicked in, they shouldn't go. But they defied that logic. You know what? We will go, not because we are cleansed of leprosy. We will go because Jesus said so. The Bible said, as they went, they were healed. The healing, the impossible situation changed because they heard directly from Jesus. They obeyed what Jesus said. And as they obeyed, healing began. When Jesus said it, they were leprous. When Jesus said, go, as they moved, they were still leprous. But as they went, the leprosy vanished. I tell you, something happened in my house last Thursday. You know, you need to hear from my wife directly. But while I was ministering here and talking about faith and answering questions on faith, she was in excruciating pain. We're in the same studio here, in our home studio together. I was ministering, and she was in pain. I was groaning. The pain had been for like 2 days. And even as the word was going, and we finished the service, I called our two sons and we went to her. Let's pray. We just simply prayed, Lord, we acknowledge she's in pain. We acknowledge this pain is here. But you said that by the stripes of Jesus, she was healed. this healing. So we acknowledge the pain and everything. We ask you, heal. And because you said she's healed in Jesus' name. So we left it there. When I went back upstairs, my wife said, as she went up the stairs, the pain went. Faith for the impossible does not ignore facts, but speaks the truth of what God said to that fact, and the fact which is impossible becomes possible. As they went, they were cleansed. Now listen, these were 10 lepers. I want us to see something quickly. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. And verse 15, one of them, remember there were 10, okay? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God. There were 10. 10 were cleansed. One saw it, acknowledged, wow, this has happened. He returned. He wasn't going to the priest anymore. He went back and returned to Jesus. The one who spoke the word, he went back to him to give him the glory. Now, see what happened when he gave him the glory. And there's something here we need to see. Faith is a personal thing. It is individual. 10 people heard the same thing. 10 of them took the same action. But one of them went the extra because faith is personal. When the extra returned back to the one who said, go and show yourself to the priest and gave him the glory. He gave God the glory. The Bible said he fell down at Jesus' feet. He gave him thanks and he was a Samaritan. Do you know what even that means? He shouldn't even have dealings with Jesus in the first place. Samaritans and Jews don't have dealings. They must not have any relationship. He defied logic. He defied tradition. He went back and gave glory to God. Jesus now said, why there are not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. The King James Version says, whole. Listen, 10 of them heard the same word. Individually, your faith is an individual. It's a personal work. 10 of you can hear the same word, and according to the level of your faith, the manifestation of the word will be different. This one who came back was made whole. The other were cleansed. Cleansing just stopped the effect of the leprosy. But this guy came back, he was made whole, which meant that not only the leprous, when you're leprous, they lose their limbs and things like that. So the cleansing means that no more, but the limbs could still be as it is, but no more leprosy. Jesus said, your own individual faith now, for you coming back to give the glory to God, has actually extended the effect. You are not only cleansed, you are whole, which means his limbs and everything grew back. Faith is personal, very personal. All right, that's story number one. Let's go to those who exercised, who demonstrated faith in the impossible. That's what we're looking at. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whoever comes to God must necessarily believe that God exists. It was those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Now, what I want to highlight about this scripture before we go to the second example is that the first thing also for you to have faith in God is that you must believe personally that God exists. It's not a case that they told you about God, that's why you believe in God. That in itself is good. But do you believe God exists? You see, when I was personally meditating, studying, and learning and unlearning about faith, I realized that, do you know that some people's faith is actually, they believe God exists because somebody said so, not actually because they encountered God and they, beyond every shadow of doubt, know that God exists. You can believe God exists because I'm telling you that God exists. But when shuv comes to push, push comes to shuv, I tell you, your faith in that situation may waver because your faith is based on what I told you. It's not based on your personal encounter. That is why, you see, good, hear about God, believe about God. Go deeper. God, I want to know you. I want to encounter you one-on-one. Those who had faith, demonstrated faith in the possible, can you see? They had a personal encounter. They heard God directly. Do you know your faith, even if you're a Christian, you've been in church all your life, could actually be based on everything you've been told? Not that because you had a personal conviction. That's why maybe at times doubts come in. You like myself many years ago, I was a yo-yo. Up today, down tomorrow, up today, down tomorrow, up today, until I had a personal conviction beyond every shadow of doubt that God exists because I had a personal encounter and I had a personal word from him. In any circumstance, the same way, even if a prophet stands and speaks the word of God, you believe the word of God because the Bible says believe the prophets, you will be established. You know, we quote all those scriptures. Fine, but do you believe God of the prophet? Because when you believe beyond the prophet that this, what the prophet said is from God and God confirms to you, I sent that prophet, your faith is strengthened that way. The psalmist said, once have I heard, once God has spoken, twice have I heard that all power belongs to God. Could it be that all along, all these years, your faith is based on God existing because you were told, not because you actually experience God and you know he exists? There's a difference, people. That's why you need this faith for this new season. You must believe that God exists. Personally believe. So let's state that. Second example is Luke chapter 5, verse 7. From verse 17, sorry. Let me tell you. Let's see. Okay, we're good with time because we must look at some things that hinder our faith. Same principle. Remember, switch on your logic as we're reading this story. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It happened on a certain day as he was teaching, as Jesus was teaching. There were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by. These are religious leaders of the time. They had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Jesus was teaching. When Jesus teaches, he's speaking the word of God. And when the word of God is released, listen, the Bible says where the word of a king is, there's power. When the word of God is released, the power of God is released. The power to heal is released. As I'm speaking to you right now, I'm speaking the word of God. The power of God is released and present to heal you right there where you are, in your bedroom, in your living room, or even watching this broadcast as you're driving or you're in a bus. The power of God is being released. But listen, power can be released and you may not tap into that power, and the power will have no effect on you if you don't do what happened here. What happened? Let's go. The power of God was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. When they could not find how to bring him in because of the crowd, they went onto the housetop. They let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Let me warn somebody listening to this. Oh, I heard this story before. I've read this before. No. Please come like a child. Faith for a new season. Hear this story today like you've never heard it before. That will help you because part of the hindrances to faith, I'm jumping now, is assumption. You assume you know. There was, for example, I was having a conversation with my wife, sharing my salvation story again. And then I shared it. I said it. Oh, she said, oh, she never heard this part before. It's the same story I was sharing with her, but some new thing was being unveiled that she didn't hear, maybe the first time I said it, or maybe I didn't even go that deep. So we come to God with that attitude. Don't, I've read it before. I know, is it not the man? They brought him to the room, they threw him down. And that, listen, assumption will hinder your faith. Let me warn you. Let me just warn you. So don't assume. So they brought the guy. They were four friends, right? They brought the guy through the roof and put him down where Jesus was. They removed the tiling. Now, verse 20, note this. The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. Listen, whose faith did Jesus see? The faith of the four friends that carried their paralyzed friend. How did Jesus see their faith? Through their action. Remember, anyone without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to God must believe that God exists and must trust in God. Because without faith, it's impossible. You must believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So they diligently sought for Jesus because they had heard about Jesus. Their faith was in Jesus. They knew Jesus would heal this, their friend. So they brought their friend to Jesus. Jesus saw that faith. So your faith should be seen by your action. And listen, not just your action, your heart. Because that's the first thing God sees. God knows your heart. If you are acting and your heart is far away, God also will see that. So don't act it. Don't fake it. If you don't believe, you come to God, tell him you don't believe, help my unbelief. We've learned that. So Jesus saw their faith. But listen, this is a powerful thing. Jesus saw the faith of the four men who brought their paralyzed friend. But who did Jesus speak to? Jesus saw that these guys already had faith. But the paralyzed man was the one Jesus spoke to. What did Jesus say to the man? Man, your sins are forgiven you. Remember, faith is individual. Four friends can bring you to church. Four friends can tell you about Jesus. If you don't encounter Jesus yourself, hear Jesus for yourself, somebody else's faith cannot save you. Jesus said, man, he spoke to the paralyzed man. He didn't speak to the guys who brought him because those ones had faith already. Man, your sins are forgiven, because it could be a fruitless effort if they brought him by their own faith and the man himself didn't have faith to be healed. Listen, Jesus spoke directly to the man. Remember, faith comes by hearing God directly. When you faith in God, faith for the impossible. So Jesus now told the man, your sins are forgiven you. And listen, if you read it, the scribes and Pharisees heard this. Religious people, how can you say you forgive? How can you? Ah, who are you? Who do you think you are? It's only God who can forgive. This is blasphemy. We don't believe you. This is rubbish. They got angry. And then Jesus, he just perceived their thoughts. Remember, God hears what you think. He just spoke back to them too. He answered their thoughts. Look, why are you reasoning in your heart? Verse 23. Which one is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, to say, rise up and walk. But I want you to know that I also have the power on this earth to forgive sins. That's why I said it. Remember, faith comes by what you hear, what you're told. I'm saying this so that all of you will know that I don't just heal, I forgive. Do you know a principle there? Psalm 103. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget his benefits. What is the benefit? The first thing, he forgives all your iniquities and then heals all your diseases. Because at times, the reason why some of us don't think or believe God will heal us is because maybe we sinned and we are living the consequences of our sin. But hear the word of the Lord today. Your sins are forgiven. Jesus also has the power to forgive your sins. So your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. Let me run. And after he said that, so that everyone who was there will also know, I can forgive you your sins. Sins, iniquity, whatever you have done wrong, I also have the power. And I'm forgiving you so that I can heal you all your diseases. He forgives all iniquities, heals all diseases. Now, he now spoke again to the paralyzed man. I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. A man paralyzed, if that guy could pick his bed, if that guy could walk and go to his house. Will his friends have brought him? Let your logic kick in. This doesn't make sense. How can you just speak to me and tell me to carry my bed? But listen, the man heard Jesus directly. The man heard that Jesus could forgive his sins. So even if he was feeling that I'm paralyzed because of my sins, Jesus has also said he forgives all my sins and then heals all my diseases. Arise, take up your bed. Do you know what happened? The Bible said immediately he rose before them, took up what he had been lying on, departed to his own house, glorifying God. Faith for the impossible comes when you hear God directly. That tells you what is impossible with God is possible. So you see another dimension. Because of our time, let me quickly also run a commentary on this story. This one is in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. I will tell you to go and read up that story, but let me do a quick commentary because I do not want us to miss out today on some things. Matthew chapter 8 from verse 5. If you read the story down to verse 13, it's the story of a centurion. This man is a centurion is like a general in the army. Under him, he has at least 100 soldiers. That's where the word centurion comes from. Cent is 100, where you also get century. Century is 100 years. So he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, my servant is at home. He's paralyzed. He's dreadfully tormented. This is also a different situation now. Then Jesus said to him, remember, he came to Jesus because he believed Jesus could heal the servant. His faith. Now look at this man's faith, the centurion. The other guys brought their paralyzed guy to Jesus. The centurion, his own servant, was at home paralyzed. He came to Jesus, all right? And because I want us to see something here, all right, that is slightly different. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. I will come so that I'll have a personal encounter with this guy. All right? I will come and heal him. Then the centurion said, No. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. When I say to one soldier, go, he will go. When I say to another, come, he will come. So, and to this my servant, if I say he should do this, he will do it. Listen, the difference here, because somebody's asking, you said you need to have your own personal word. The servant at home didn't have a personal encounter with Jesus. Because what took place here is Jesus now was marveled. He said to those who followed him, whoa, I've never seen such a great faith. I've been to all over Israel. I have never seen so great faith. No, not in Israel. Verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you have believed, so let it be for you. And the servant was made whole that same hour. But you're saying he didn't have an encounter with that servant who was paralyzed at home. Listen, remember, this centurion came on his own faith, what he believed, and a principle that when I have authority, what I have authority over obeys me. So he came on the basis he has authority over that servant at home. Because when I tell that servant to go, he will go. Whatever I tell him to do, he will do. But this guy is paralyzed now. But now a higher authority, which is you just speak the same way I have authority over that servant. My authority, based on my faith in you, over that servant will heal that servant. So you can stand over people you have authority over. When you look at Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, women, they brought their own dead alive by their own faith. The people you have authority over, they brought their husbands. They brought their children. So look at people you have authority over. You can't exercise faith on behalf of someone you don't have authority over. That's the difference here. Let us understand the scriptures. Because he said, I am a man under authority. So I understand authority. I have authority over this guy. So I am using my authority. If you give me the faith, give me the word, my authority, by my authority, this servant will be healed. And that is what happened there. That is just the difference. You see, the Bible is not complicated. If we open our hearts to hear and listen and study, God will reveal things to us. That's the last example we will look at today. You know, I will have said, go look at the story of the woman with the issue of blood. The story is in Mark chapter 5, verse 27 to 30. Same principle. Mark chapter 5, verse 27 to 30. Same principle. This woman did not even, Jesus didn't even know this woman. The woman said to herself while she was at home, she too was bleeding. Logic, science, the rule, the law, tradition says when a woman has issue of blood bleeding, she must not mingle with people. Because anybody she mingles with, she's defiling them. This woman defied that science and logic and law and tradition. She ventured out. She spent all her money. All the doctors have told her she can't be healed. 18 years, I think it was 12 years. Or so, just go read the story. It was a long-term condition that defied healing. But her own faith was that, she said herself. Remember what Jesus said to that man? As you have believed. Faith for the impossible is a personal faith. As you have believed. What did you believe? You believe what God said. This woman said to herself, I know Jesus heals. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She went, defied logic, went through the crowd, got to Jesus, weak woman. How she gathered that strength to get to Jesus itself is an act of faith. She touched Jesus' garment and she was healed. She said to herself, what are you saying to yourself? Are you speaking the word of God to yourself? Because that woman was convinced. Remember, those who come to God must believe that he exists and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. These are different levels at which we can exercise faith for the possible. All right, let's round up now. I will just take about 7 minutes to go through this, and I'm recognizing our time. So hold on. What are some hindrances, some things that can hinder our faith for the impossible? That's the next thing I just want to quickly run through. Hindrances to faith for the impossible. Some things that hinder our faith for the impossible. Number one, we looked at it last week, misinformation. When you are misinformed, you don't have the accurate information of who God is. You need to know God personally. Get the information from the author. Jesus is the author, the finisher of our faith. So what did Jesus author? You can read a book edited by editors, written by an author, but the editor edited it. So what you will read in an edited book is not accurately what the author said. Or you can even hear from a reviewer of the book, and they can review the book based on their own understanding. Listen, they have misinformed you if their understanding is wrong. If you want and you're smart, go to the author. So misinformation, hindrance, we saw that last week, state of our hearts. Because the state of your heart, if you have a heart of unbelief, if you're carefree, if your heart is hardened, you will hear the word of God, it will have no effect on you. If your heart is full of the cares of this life, you just want to party, you worry, you do all those things, they will choke the word. Secondly, we talked about unforgiveness. If you have you don't forgive people, forget it, faith. Your faith will not work. It will. You can't carry people in your heart and carry the word of God. No, it's either Jesus is there and he's Lord of all or Lord of none. You can't put someone in your heart and put Jesus there. No, he's Lord. Lord, he sits on his throne. His throne now is your heart. Don't put somebody else there and expect you will hear the word of faith that will save you. Unforgiveness will literally put you in a tormentous chamber. Look at the story Matthew 18. The guy who the Lord forgave and he didn't forgive. Jesus said, this is what will happen to you if you don't forgive. You will be put in a tormentous chamber. Diseases will rack your body. You will pray, it won't happen. I tell you, your faith, you will fast, it won't even happen until you let go. Strong word for somebody. Offenses. Deal with offenses. How do you deal with offenses? Jesus said, forgive immediately. Don't even go about your feeling. I had a very good discussion with someone. No, I forgive when I feel, when I need to feel it. Don't feel nothing. You better just forgive. Deal with offenses. Offenses will come. People will offend you. It's not worth it if you want to experience faith and you want impossible things to become possible. Forget it. All the sentiments. How will I do it? It's impossible. That is why when the disciples heard this story, he was talking about forgiveness in Luke 17, offenses. When they heard it, they said, Lord, increase our faith. That's why it takes faith to forgive. And the Bible says in Galatians 5:6, faith works by love. If you love yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. You love God with all your heart, all your might, all your strength. Tell me, if all your strength, all your might is full of the love of God, where would you have room for offenses? To carry, he looked at me somehow. He insulted me. He abused me. He abused my father. Look, I know human feelings triggers when things go contrary to our ego. Strife, we want to prove a point. It is not worth it. Jesus said, if your brother comes to you, he offends you, say, forgive me, forgive him. If he comes again, forgive him. Then I'll say, how many times now? He said, 470 times seven. Ha! No, we need faith for this. Forgive. Lord, increase our faith. That's the story in Luke 17. And he began to teach about faith because it takes faith to forgive. So receive faith right now that works through the love of God by the Holy Spirit to release everybody who has offended you, even those who offended you before this service. Even if this message is offending your theology, okay? Okay? Not acting on the word of God. You heard it, just act on it. Remember, let your logic tell you it's impossible, but against logic, just do what the word of God says. So let me just quickly highlight the things today. Also, when you are hanging around people who don't believe, people who don't share your faith, they will hinder your faith. Jesus came, he heard about the man whose daughter was sick. Before he got there, the daughter died. Jesus got there and spoke the word. No, she's not. She's only sleeping because death is sleep, eternal sleep. So he spoke to them. The daughter is sleeping. I'm going to raise her up. They mocked. The people are crying, mourning. They mocked him, laughed him to scorn. You know what Jesus did? The Bible said he took James, Peter, James, and John. He put everybody out. Don't hang around people who don't share your faith. If God spoke to you, it's you that God spoke to personally. Hold on to it. You don't need to prove any point to nobody. Just hold on to God. Don't hang around people who don't believe, who don't share your faith. They will kill your faith because they will keep telling you things contrary to what you've heard. And what you hear is what will give you faith. They will speak doubt, you will start doubting. Number two, sin. Let me tell us, sin is broad, but there is a definition of sin in Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Whatever is not of faith is sin. In other words, if you are doing anything that is not what God said in his word, it is sin. That's just simplified, simply put. You are doing something and what you're doing is not according to what God said. Anything that is not of faith is sin. So note that. That's a dimension of sin we should know. Assumption, we've talked about that before. You heard the word and you're assuming that this is what God said. The Bible tells us, don't give the word of God a private interpretation. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 to 20. No scripture is of any private interpretation. So don't assume, don't give it your personal, whatever God says, go and ask the author. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit, what do you mean by this? Assumption, and then bitterness. Bitterness, you are bitter because something happened. You played back in your mind, you are bitter that this happened. You are bitter. Do you know what bitterness is? You keep hearing what happened that's making you angry and bitter. Faith comes by hearing. If you keep playing the past, you won't have faith that you need presently that will change your future. If you keep playing the past, you will not have the faith you need for now, for your present, that will change your future. So don't be bitter, because bitterness keeps replaying the past. And bitterness, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, that it defiles the soul. Regret is also playing the past. You are regretting, how I wish I did this. How I wish when God told me before. Don't live in regret, please. Faith for a new season start afresh. Don't live in regret. Regret plays the past also. You don't dwell in the past. Dwell in the fresh word you're hearing and act on it. And then impatience. Listen, you can have faith and you are waiting on God. You believe God will do it. But then a little impatience will choke what you're having faith for. After you have faith, exercise patience. We see that in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. You have need of patience after you have exercised faith. Wait, listen, it will happen. Not because I said so. It will happen because you believed God and because God said so. And you believe what he said. That's why it will happen. So wait for it. God has promised you a child. There's a process. Wait. God has promised that you heard God say this to you. Not that a prophet said it. You heard it. The prophet, God spoke through the prophet, but you heard it. It's got to be personalized for you. Wait. Patience. Do you know why? Because the trying of our faith, the Bible says, is actually what develops patience. And patience is the fruit of the Spirit. So you need patience. You have need of patience after you've done the will of God. You've done what God said, what you heard. You've done it. Just patiently wait. There are some things right now. I am patiently waiting to happen. I know God said it, and I'm just waiting. I'm waiting, hoping against hope, because logic says it can't happen. But hoping God has moved away from logic. Hoping, human hope is 50-50, maybe it will happen. Hoping God is no, because God said it will happen. I'm hoping it, and my hope will not be dashed. And finally, listen, when you replace service to God, instead of sitting down to hear God's word, you are busy serving God. Oh, running here, doing this, doing that. You are busy, but you are not sitting down to hear the word of God. If you replace service with sitting down at God's feet, you won't have faith, because while you are busy running up and down, you won't hear what God is saying. So you need to sit down. That's one of the things God told us out of this year. Shut the door, sit down, hear the word of God. It's not too late. I believe you've heard this. Don't let your busyness replace God's business. The business of God starts with you hearing what God is even saying so that you will know what to do. Don't serve and think you're serving God like Martha, serving Jesus, but not sitting down like Mary to hear the word that will never be taken from her. Hear the word. When you have that word, nothing can take that word from you. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your time. I really thank you for being able to stay. I wanted you to just bow your head. Lord, thank you. Just talk. If you're in doubt, you've had so many things, but you've probably had one thing that resonates, that is relatable. Focus on that right now and tell God the truth that is in your heart. I am praying for somebody while the rest of us are actually expressing our hearts. Somebody hearing this, you've never heard it like this explained before. I want to tell you, taste and you will see that God is good. I pray upon your heart right now. I pray that you will make a decision and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. I receive your word. I receive healing. I receive deliverance. From today, I receive you, and I'm now your child, a child of God. I am a son. I am a daughter of the Most High God. From today, I start walking by what you say to me. I start acting. I always will sit down to hear you and do what you say. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak with the authority that you have given me over those you have called me to pastor. I speak the word of healing. I speak the word of deliverance. I say in the name of Jesus, conceive the word and conceive seed of the word.
Amen.
And be fruitful.
Amen.
Multiply. Be fruitful. Let your body, crown of your head, every organ, every fact, symptoms is telling you, I say, by the word, because God said so, you are healed, you are delivered, you are restored. Though you have lost so many things, though your years have been wasted, even this 2020 looks like a waste, I tell you by the authority that is the word of the Lord, God will crown this year before the end of 2020, before December 31st, you will see a manifestation of the seed of the word of God you've conceived right now, that you have received and conceived. I say in the name of Jesus, for everyone watching, wherever you're watching from, by reason of the fact that you heard this word, I say in the name of Jesus, let the word of God accomplish what God pleases in your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, I just have a sense of relief. Not a feeling. It's a knowing. A knowing that if you received, believed, and you are speaking the word of God to yourself right now, God will confirm everything. You will see signs. They will follow. Like those lepers, as you go, you will be cleansed. And listen, as you return to testify, as you return to give him the glory, you will be made whole in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.